Britta Stalling, thank you for joining me on the Mindful Movement podcast.
Thank you very much, Les, for the invitation. I'm really happy to be here and appreciate your support.
There were a couple words that stuck out on the emails that your team reached out to me with. Medicine-less hospital, for many reasons. That resonated with me. Can we start off by hearing what does medicine-less hospital mean to you, Britta?
Yes, with pleasure. So the medicine is hot.
If people are dieting now more than ever, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs, or medium-chain triglycerides, are unique compounds that can be easily converted into ketones and provide an efficient fuel source for your body, thereby enhancing your energy production potential. Instead of turning into fat when you consume them, MCTs turn into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. MCT Wellness is Dr. Gundry's polyphenol-rich MCT powder aimed at boosting your body's fat-burning capacity. What's amazing is this energy boost can be felt quickly. It doesn't take months or years to make a difference. It's also very easy to add to your routine. There are 3 great flavors to choose from, and you just add a scoop of MCT Wellness to some water or your favorite drink and enjoy. So if you want to experience a quick and effective boost to your metabolic potential, go to GundryMD.com/mindful and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/mindful. Let's be real. Eating healthy can be a hassle. Stressing about nutrition, planning meals, shopping for ingredients. What if there was an easier way? Meet Sunbasket, a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. You can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. My family tested out the sirloin steak and the salmon last week, and it was a big winner at the dinner table. All of Sunbasket's meal kits are quick and easy, even if you're not a pro in the kitchen. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitment to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very best. Go to sunbasket.com/mindful today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/mindful to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
The hospital was founded by Dr. Peng Ming in China in the last century, in the 1780s. He actually developed a special tea therapy form, which was so well received in China that more and more people wanted to, you know, learn it, study it, benefit from it, that at one stage he would give up his, let's say, doctor's practice room, which he had in Beijing. He was treating actually patients with Western medicine and Chinese medicine. And he then started to founded the Medicine-less Hospital, what we call in the West the Medicine-less Hospital. So trained as a doctor himself, he believed so much more in the Qigong therapy, helping especially people where the Western medicine or the Chinese medicine did not have any solutions anymore. So he would share techniques, skills and abilities, methods so that people could train and then regain their health. And people in China went there sometimes with really very sincere diagnosis where their own doctor maybe said, sorry, you know, I have nothing more to give to you. So then they heard about this medicine-less hospital and went there. And your question was related to what does it mean to me? So I came to this specific Qigong form by a recommendation of a friend, not really looking for some specific healing myself. But this friend actually pointed out to this Qigong form because we were both coaches in leadership skills. So I always believe in that you and I, the listeners, we are in charge of our own life. sometimes it feels like, no, we are not. There are so many external things happening that we don't really believe we have the power or potential to overcome, you know, a very sincere external challenge. But yes, we can. So the Qigong form was really resonating with my idea of, you know, leading your life and developing your life towards a life you love. And I've never heard about Qigong. So I was like, many listeners now go like, what is she talking about? What does that actually mean? And I found myself in this workshop learning about Qigong. And after that day, I was thinking, will I ever practice this? It's still so strange. But then I noticed that with the CD at that time, there was no internet, so I could not follow a teacher online. I only had this one CD, and it was 1 month before I moved to South Africa. So I'm originally from Germany. So I didn't have teachers in Cape Town. I only had the CD. And for some strange reasons, I started to practice with the CD and realized the potential and the power of a 15, 20 minutes practice, daily practice. And then I got very curious. And then the motivation was to bring the Medicinus Hospital more or less to South Africa, because in South Africa, many people, and maybe that's also in other countries the case, don't have a health insurance. So I thought, oh, no worries. In the future, they all practice Qigong and then they don't need a health insurance because they are healthy. Obviously, that was quite naive because still you need to educate people about what this is, and then you need to inspire people and empower people to practice by themselves. And I believe that you also face this with your work, that you have these beautiful tools and it's all available. And then people fall back to their old patterns and don't practice. And then that, of course, is a challenge. But year by year, and having new ideas how to inspire people, you know, I improved also that skill. And now I'm closely working together with one Jinan Qigong master from China who was actually in that Medicinus Hospital. He worked there for 10 years. He's directly trained by Dr. Pang Ming. And I feel just honored and blessed that I have the chance to co-create with him a program where we teach the skills and abilities and methods to others. So, yeah, that's a very short version of, I could, of course, you know, talk more about the background.
A great summary. You mentioned CD. What year are we talking about that you were at home with the CD in your practice?
Mm-hmm. End of 2004. So that was a one-day workshop, like 1 month before I moved to South Africa. That was actually then early 2005. And then a couple of months later, I enrolled into a teacher training. In 2006, I was the first time in China at a retreat run by a Qinheng Qigong master. Never thought that, you know, I would do these kind of things. But, you know, year by year, and maybe listeners and you also can relate to it, when you dive deeper into something which has so many benefits, you feel like you are a student, you know, year by year, even now 20 years later. I'm just realizing we have 24. So end of this year, it would be 20 years that I practice this. And I still feel like a student and still feel there's so much to discover and explore while I'm awakening. You know, that's also something this Qigong method holds as a gift. It's not only health related, so that you can enhance your health. If you are healthy, that was my initial intention, actually. I want to prevent illness. Already as a child, I have this strong life intention never to be in a hospital, never to be sincerely ill. And it's related to a family circumstance that I made this, let's say, strong intention. And here I am, you know, almost six decades later, and I've never been to a hospital other than visiting somebody. So this strong intention already leading my life, and this practice helps me to keep this intention.
Can I ask you, Britta, I know this is, some people consider this rude, but how old are you?
Okay, good. No, you know, in China, you have this idea that you can ask any question at any given moment, and the person who answers chooses to answer or not. And obviously, I do choose to answer you, no problem. So, but I always have to think. Because I had learned that it's a good idea to think about your age divided by two. That's what I learned from the Qigong master. So I'm actually then 28. I leave it to the listeners to do the math. Oh, I actually should say I'm 27. 29, sorry, 29. Yeah, see, I'm not good in math.
And never had to go to a hospital unless you were visiting someone. That's a nice streak you have going there. I applaud you for that. And I guess you attribute that to the practice. Now, in the medicineless hospital, I mean, I have a little bit of education and practice in the realm of Qigong. It's fairly limited. There has been a couple phases in my life where I was practicing a little bit more regularly, and I loved it. I have not been practicing, and I'm hoping to get some fresh inspiration from this conversation, which I already feel happening. I don't know if it's the energy you're giving off, but I'm already feeling the pull. But I always, from what I've learned, it was always like an individual thing. There would be you need a teacher, as with any skill set. But in the hospital setting, was this always someone teaching someone how to practice, or was there some type of engagement where a practitioner is cultivating qi in a way to be applied or directed to, let's say, a patient?
Great question. I really love this question. It helps me to explain a bit the setting or the setup of this hospital. So we keep in mind that Dr. Pang Ming, who's the founder of this particular Qigong form, is a doctor himself. And he had a team of doctors. So let's imagine, somebody now has a certain diagnosis and goes there for the aim to be supported in curing it. Then the first moment, he or she would be welcomed by somebody taking all the information, and then would be grouped into, let's say, a group of 20 or 30 or 40 people. They would immediately call this person not patient anymore, but student. And then there were teachers who were trained by Dr. Pang Ming to teach the methods to that student. And there were particular practices which are very effective and fast in support. Like we have to understand, it was at a time where normally Qigong is passed on one by one and not really in a group environment. And Dr. Pang Ming broke with this tradition. Traditionally, until the 60s, last century, you were either a chosen student of Qigong or the Qigong master would select you as a student. But Dr. Pang Ming, now being a doctor, he was trained already with Qigong when he was a child because of own health reasons. And he had many different Qigong masters because they saw all the potential in him. But he always felt like this is really not fair that, only a selected few can learn these powerful methods and others can't, which nevertheless are in need, for some support. So having said that, he broke with his tradition, and actually for the first time, Qigong was available in groups. And the teacher trained by Dr. Pang Ming would then share the method. And in addition to that, there were also healers trained by Dr. Pang Ming to give what we call Fa Qi. So you can actually enhance the qi flow in your body by practicing Qigong, but you can also be guided by another person who is then the facilitator of sending good information and sending qi in a specific way, that you actually experience that and that the qi flow in your body is now, improved, blockages start to disappear, and that you can actually, feel better. So both aspects were happening in that center. They also had a research center. So they had a healing center where you would go for receiving healing and practicing the methods. They had a teacher center where they would teach teachers. And they had a research center where they did a certain kind of research to prove the effectiveness of this qi, let's say, qi medicine approach.
You mean they were doing studies on the students that were attending
the students, or I see in your office you have beautiful plants, so they would treat, for example, some plants with qi and others don't. And they would see that, you know, there's a difference, or they would work with seeds to see whether it would grow faster, you know, if you send good information. So they had different kinds of experiments.
That's cool. A couple things there. But one, I love that you mentioned they no longer labeled someone patient, but student. The energy, the difference in the energy of those words is so profound. What a meaningful strategy for everybody involved.
Yes, because it shifts immediately from being a victim, you know, of my own diagnosis and being now in the hands of a doctor or another health practitioner I seek out for support, and then shifting to I'm a student, I can take back the responsibility for my health and take it in my own hands, and I get tools and ideas and methods which then I practice or think about, and through this different perspective, I start seeing that, you know, the body actually recovers. Because there are, according to Dr. Pang Ming, there are three qualities of qi, and in that way also three qualities of healing. And they are related to our mind. That's one quality, the information substance. They are related to our energy field, and they are related to physical form. And with these three qualities, or we could also say substances of life, that is a complete different perspective or idea compared to the Western medicine or even TCM medicine, who often works with physical form.
For the listeners, Britta just said TCM, referring to traditional Chinese medicine.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they work, for example, with herbs. I mean, the traditional Chinese medicine also works with the qi within the body, which flows through our qi channels. They call it meridians. And acupuncturists, for example, work with qi. But most acupuncturists still don't really understand that they could enhance the result of their treatments if they also use the third level of substances, which would be the information substance, which, you know, would be the mind, consciousness, let's say activities. And Dr. Pang is specialized on that. He has studied the power of our consciousness, and he brings that into the Qigong form. It's not only a meditative movement. If you want to study it deeper, then you will find that there is really more into it. And we are then quickly also speaking about consciousness and how important it is to, for example, first of all, also have an intention for healing. So that is also something they did in the Medicine Less Hospital when they invited you to become a student, you know, to really invite you to overcome the information of the diagnosis and transform this information of the diagnosis into a powerful health intention. So just like I said in the beginning, my life intention is not to be ill. And decade by decade, I can now really, based on results, say I'm still having this strong intention and benefiting from it. So that is a challenge for quite a few people.
It's definitely a challenge, but I'm sorry to cut you off there. The fact that when they're doing a clinical study in Western medicine, the fact that they have to account for placebo is as if placebo is almost an enemy they're trying to work around. It's evidence that it's real, and that intention that's kept you out of a hospital. I mean, you could attribute that to the same idea. It's, you know, your belief. So, yeah, the intention is so powerful. And the whole aspect of empowering people to understand that they have within them the tools to undergo whatever healing they're desiring. It's just about, I guess, getting things out of the way and allowing that intention to come to fruition. But I believe you that it would, for a lot of people, it's very challenging to set that intention when we're, I don't want to say brainwashed, but we are kind of indoctrinated to think like there's a problem. What's the diagnosis? What's the symptom? What's the medicine for it? Like, there's a massive industry trying to, that's in the business of identifying things that we could label and then identifying and then selling usually a pill or a procedure, which implies that you can't do it. It's not within you. It's external and you need the expert. But ultimately, we are all our own best healers.
Yes, and in Qigong, Qigong, we relate this to a distinction we are making between passive medicine and initiative medicine. So passive medicine is like, you know, taking not a pill, which for, you know, also can work. Actually, Dr. Pang Ming is a supporter of integrative medicine because sometimes the Western medicine is really needed in order for us to heal and recover and get better. You know, certain operations maybe or certain treatments can really work out well. And having said that, if then the person really understands that in terms of the initiative he or she can take, for example, by blending this treatment with better nutrition or, you know, going to an alternative natural healing methodology which can support the recovery process and, you know, you recover faster. So we have actually people who recovered, for example, from sincere cancer diagnosis, either using Qinan Qigong in itself or combining traditional school medical treatments with Qinan Qigong or other healing methodologies. And it's really like a very unique decision each person has to take. But I would encourage people to search. And then when it resonates with them, you know, try it out. For example, in my environment, and she's now as actually part of our Hunan Qi therapy program, this is a 2 years educational program where we teach and share the tools, the methods, the skills of the medicine as hospital. And she has a diagnosis of ALS. ALS is it's an illness which actually impacts your muscles. And according to the Western medicine, there's no cure. And month by month, year by year, your muscles get weaker, weaker, weaker. Your organs then actually start to not functioning anymore and literally people die. And it's often a genetic illness. So her mother already died of it at age of 34. So when she got the diagnosis around similar age, she was really understanding the sincerity of this diagnosis. She started then to search and she looked for solutions. And she found somebody who used Qinan Qigong to overcome it. And she made this conscious choice to contact that person, understand what she did. She had no idea about this Qigong form. Then she looked for a teacher and she took 6 months off from her work. Obviously, yeah, some people now say, oh, but I can't do that. But maybe if your life is at stake, maybe you reconsider. And then she really had the support of her husband and she practiced up to 8 hours a day, like in the medicineless hospital. You know, they would also, they dedicate now their life not to laying in bed and taking the pills and waiting until somebody visits them. In that medicineless hospital in China, they would really practice 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours a day. So she did the same. And I think it took her 3 years. It was not a fast way. But 3 years later, she went to the doctor again, and the doctor said, wow, you know, I cannot actually identify the source of ALS anymore. I know, you know, it is still in your genes, but the symptoms are gone. So I declare you healed. Go, you know, go and do whatever you want to do now with your life. And she's also very conscious that she continues to practice. So that is obviously something which people are invited to understand. It is a beautiful practice, you know, but some people say, oh, but I don't want to dedicate half hour, 1 hour, or in that case, several hours. And I've met people who clearly told me I'm not willing to practice 8 hours. And I go like, okay.
Yeah, it's amazing what people are willing to allocate their time to. I mean, I'm a believer that time is the most valuable resource. And I mean, the amount of time that people put into like Netflix or bringing in just content when there's so much out there that can offer so much more, but it, you know, you have to experience, it's like you have to taste it first. So if you're really unaccustomed to putting time into, whether it's, you know, bettering yourself in any way, really, if you're not used to that and you can't taste the benefit, it, you know, it's hard to justify. But, you know, the one thing about Qigong, from little that I know, is the minimum effective dose is very little. I mean, there's been times where I have a trail that goes through the woods in the back of my house that I walk pretty much daily. And it's a short trail. It's like 5-minute loop, 10 minutes if I go super, super slow. And I have like a favorite tree. And that's the tree that I'll stop at to practice here and there. But sometimes I'll stop for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and something happens. There's a shift. Like, you are better off for the 3-minute stop. You don't, you know, 8 hours is obviously the other end of the spectrum, but it takes very little to be able to have a taste of, oh, that feels good. That served me. It was nourishing in some way. You mentioned something earlier about, you know, you get better with practice. I don't know how you worded it, but something I remember noticing is when I would practice, I would get a little taste that I was interacting with something, I guess the chi, the energy. Like, I would feel when the space between my hands was like almost holding something. And they would, at one distance, they might repel, and at one distance, they might draw. And there was something there. They were in relationship with each other. And whatever that was in the middle, I could move around a little bit. I could put it into my body. I could move it around within my body. And I don't know exactly what I'm feeling there. I'm definitely feeling something. I assume it's real because I have that felt experience. Is whatever that is that measurable? I mean, you mentioned a research center earlier of that hospital. Like, are there studies that have been done where they, with some type of instrumentation, that whatever people are feeling that they are like holding or moving can be picked up on something?
So actually, there's an institute in Germany, and they have, I think, done this experiment in 2000. And they measured actually with a thermo instrument, I don't know the exact name, the flow of the meridians. So the meridians are the chi channels, and maybe you for sure, but also listeners, you know, see these human body graphics, and then they see the lines of the different chi channels, which are related to organs, for example. So you have a heart meridian or a bladder meridian, kidney meridian, liver meridian. So it's related to your organ, and then they flow in a certain way through your body. And Professor Pop, that's his name, he actually, with this device, measured the flow of the meridian. So they had a patient or a person laying down, and then this the instrument, the device would pick up, and it would be exactly the lines we'll see on this graphics of the human body. A traditional Chinese medicine works with it, you know, and that has been measured. And we are also doing some experiments, like using our consciousness, and maybe now people say that it's spooky, but actually I've been in these experiments myself to influence physical form with our mind, purely our mind. And that is related to, for example, bending spoons or magnetizing needles.
You can bend a spoon with your mind?
Not always. But yes, I think I have 3 or 4 spoons at home where it's bended. And
it's right in front of you, and you're just looking at it, and you're direct.
No, you hold it actually, you know, you hold it, and you are really with your mind Now, sending information, it's like a noodle, like a spaghetti, very warm and soft. And, you know, you can bend a spaghetti. And then the connection, because you're talking about the connection, you're connecting with the tree, connecting with nature, and you feel something or you practice. And that, I think, is also related to yoga practice or any kind of other mindful practice, because chi is just a name for that substance which is connecting all of us. And our consciousness is connected also with an external object, and we can actually influence an external object. Otherwise, you cannot really explain how, for example, a tumor disappears suddenly. And maybe some listeners or you also know that one film which you can find on YouTube where there's a person with a bladder tumor, and within 2 to 3 minutes that tumor disappears by Qigong masters giving Fa Qi treatment. Actually, it's a video Greg Braden is often referring to. And this video is actually done by one of my first Qinan Qigong teachers in China, Luke Chan. He has done this video. And it was actually filmed in the Medicinist Hospital. So how can you actually, you know, even explain that 3-4 masters now surrounding that person, focusing on the tumor, which is physical form in the bladder, and the ultrasound measures this form disappears. We all have that skills. You know, I've been in workshops where we did the needle experiment and all of us succeeded. 70-year-old, 80-year-old people, 20-year-old people, doesn't relate to age or...
Can you elaborate? What is the needle experiment?
Okay, here what we do is we have a plate and we have normal needles, thin needles where you pin something with. And we just, you know, a specific skill with Qinan Qigong is what we call organize a qi field. We organize the information field that these needles now magnetize. And we are really focusing, concentrating our mind. That's also one technical skill of qi therapy. You are enhancing your ability to keep your mind really focused and concentrated into oneness with an external object. And then we are focusing the mind, integrating, harmonizing with that needle. And then the needle starts to magnetize and we can lift it.
Lift it off the plate.
I can send you videos if you like afterwards.
Okay.
The spoons are, I'm currently traveling, so the spoons are actually in my home and I'm only back home in a month's time, but I can send you pictures then too.
I remember, this is a little off topic maybe, but I have a good amount of experience getting acupuncture. And the therapist that I would see, a practitioner, her name is Diane Connolly, and just a very beautiful person, beautiful soul, has played a big role in my life, especially at a really challenging time. And she was, you know, there's acupuncturists that are like technicians, and then there's healers. And I would put her in the healer category. And I would remember, like, I would go in, and she didn't really, like, she didn't ever want to know whatever your complaint was. She didn't want to hear it. She didn't want to put words to it. She didn't want the energy of those words in the room. She would check your pulses. But one thing that I remember that she would always factor in was whatever season it was. And the treatment seemed to always be related to what season we were in at the time. And then I remember one of the first times that I learned Qigong, I was at a health spa type place taking a class. And I remember there was a move. I don't know the names of any of the moves. Quite out of practice, like I said. But the gentleman that was teaching was essentially drawing his hands in a circular form, coming up through the center of the body, up, and then out and down. And he referenced something similar. He was like, you do the same move the other direction in the other in the opposite season. You know, I thought it was interesting. Like, I think it was, I might be botching this, but in the spring, you were kind of drawing up from the ground and letting that energy come up and then out. And it was like the circle this way. I mean, for the listeners, this means nothing. And then in the winter, it was like you were drawing in, like you were grabbing out and pulling it in. Is that a common thing? Is that a big part of the Qigong practice? Or I know there's a lot of different varieties of Qigong, and maybe we'll get in next to the variety that you're that you guys teach. But is that a part of it? Is there something there?
So for sure, there are Qigong forms which are focusing on that and considering it. What I've learned is that there are around 4,000 different Qigong forms which are available in China, actually. And Dr. Pang also learned from different Qigong masters and learned different forms. But as a doctor, he was driven by the idea to actually develop a form which is easier to learn and super effective in a very fast way, because he wanted to share it with people who are in the need of fast healing. You know, if you consider different aspects of the season and you don't have so much time anymore, maybe then, you know, it doesn't really help you so much. So he actually developed methods which are working with what we call the Hun Yuan Qi, which is like the primary Qi in the universe. It has really like the three level of substances, and it's universal. So it is in there, therefore a high level of qi, and we don't work with our own life force. For example, there are Qigong forms focusing more working with your own life force qi, and here with Hunyan qi we work with the primordial qi of the universe and consider that, focus on that. Having said that, obviously the idea is that as a human being, it's very wise, you know, to go with the seasons and, you know, work together with nature and not oppose it. You know, for example, when we look at lifestyle choices, you know, that we dress, when it's winter, we dress more warm clothes. But some young people, you know, don't follow that idea. You know, they dress not with warm clothes in the winter, and then they face the consequences, of course, because they want to maybe follow more a trend, or, you know, being cool or whatever. So and there are seasonal food, for example. That's very wise, you know, to go with the nutrition of what the season offers. And I'm pretty sure and confident the Qigong forms, considering different seasons, are also very powerful. But I'm not trained in them, and so therefore
I'm gonna try to get this right. Hun Yuan Qi?
Yeah, Hun Yuan Qi.
Mm-hmm. Hun Yuan Qi?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that deals more with the more general like force that's flowing through the whole universe, and you're moving it through you in some way, as opposed to focusing on your own individual, like, life force energy and manipulating that. So is that based on just intention, or are there certain, like, moves or gestures that naturally will tap into those differently?
That's also a very, very good question. And to answer it, I would like to maybe share first, so that listeners also have a better understanding, you know, what kind of life force we are talking here about, that Dr. Pang distinguished the qi from different sources. So we have the source of qi in nature or in the universe, but obviously we also have a source of qi in our own body. So there is, you know, qi flowing through our body, and we have our different organs qi and different body parts qi. So the idea is actually everything is Hunyuan qi. So your body's qi is Hunyuan qi, the nature's qi is Hunyuan qi. Hunyuan means it's merging, harmonizing, integrating with the source. Yuan means source or oneness of the qi. So the plants, you know, in your beautiful office, they are qi. You know, I look outside a tree, this is qi. The chair we are sitting on is also qi. So in a way, this is something where human beings have separated them too much from external objects, and they've always wandered a little bit around and find them separate from things. And when you practice the Qigong, you come to a new sense of unity with nature, with your surroundings, with the objects. And then you are able to understand that, you know, Hunyan Qi is something you can also then nourish. Like you were asking, you know, how do we do this now? Do we do this with intention, or do we do this with specific forms or certain gestures? And it's a combination. So first of all, we say intention is very important, because we say one principle of Qigong is where the mind goes, the qi follows to flow. So when my intention always outside of myself, and people can probably relate to it, when you're always thinking about external objects, you mentioned Netflix earlier, then you literally give your qi to the TV, or maybe now it's a computer where you look where you look the films, and you're depleting your own life force qi. So one aspect of Qigong is that you train yourself, no matter where you are, you're still connected to your own physical body. You don't lose your awareness from where you're sitting, the surroundings. You train literally your consciousness to be aware of everything. So be really be connected. Then you are mentioning that, specific methods, like Dr. Pang Ming has developed what he calls the Lift Qi Up, Hold Qi Down method. It's a 20-minute practice which helps us to balance our life force qi with the nature's qi. So we get nourished by the nature qi, and we release, you know, any qi we don't need anymore, in terms so that we can realign from deep inside, and all our energy centers in our body fill again with qi, the organs, the qi flow is improved, and the blood circulation is improved. So we are really, you know, feeling we are more in tune, you know, with nature, with what's happening in our life, and we are stronger. We are literally strengthening our body from deep within. And then when you say certain gestures, yes, when you give Fa Qi treatments, when you're treating another person, in the beginning you work with your hands, but very soon you stop doing that and you work with your consciousness only. So you're training your consciousness to really be focusing on your client's physical body, and then enhance the qi flow within the client's body, so that the client then, after, let's say, 10 minutes, 15 minutes treatment, can really experience a shift. And these are the skills and abilities which were taught in the Medicine as Hospital, and which Master Liu, who I partnered up with now together with our team, we bring this to people in the West. And that's probably also something I just want to mention, beautiful acupuncturist healer, which she probably did. She really, when I listened to you, you know, she worked with powerful intentions, because she was guiding you to not focus on the diagnosis information, on the illness information, that's also how we would term it, but focus on your health information and allow you to be in a good spirit, so that the treatments she would then give and provide with the needles would have a higher impact than if she would only work with the technical needles. And then you actually bring into the idea of what I referred to earlier, the different substance levels of qi, because qi you can not only define by the source, you can also define by different substance level and how they actually balance each other, transform into each other, exchange with each other. And that's the information substance, the energy substance, and physical form. Related to your acupuncturist healer, she would use the needles, and she knows exactly which kind of acupuncture point she has to treat in according to the TCM, traditional Chinese medicine idea, you know, focusing on specific meridians. But she would then, with her mind, send the good information and create like a good energy field, so that you really feel the difference, whether you go to her or you go to a traditional Chinese medicine acupuncturist who would just use the needles. It's a complete different experience. And I hope that I could shed maybe some light and explain, based off the theories Dr. Pang Ming has brought into the world, why this is like that. We have, actually, Dr. Pang Ming has, you know, written many books, and we can read them, and it's a library of background and theory and research. But actually what he says is, if we just study the nature principles of life, and if we practice, we can have this wisdom by ourselves. We don't need to read the books. And that's also why he called this Qigong form wisdom Qigong. Qineng actually means intelligence, potential, and abilities. So in short, wisdom, if we translate it into English. And Qigong, Gong means methods, tools, practice, trade. And then Qi, I already gave you the definition of the different ideas, how we can define Qi. So literally, we are practicing using different tools and methods to activate our life force running through our own body in relationship to nature, universe, make it harmonized, balanced, integrated better so that we can live our full potential and that we are awakening our true self and really live the life we love. Many people are still what we would call framed because of old beliefs or patterns or habits. It's not so much that they couldn't, but the habits or beliefs or frames are so strong that they don't really feel free from inside to define themselves in a different way. So here, I just would like to broaden the perspective of Qigong. Yes, it's a meditative set. It's a set of meditative movements and meditations, but if you choose, it can go beyond and really help you to awakening your mind and let's say become a better version of yourself where you really feel like, yeah, I live my life authentically. I think it's also about being authentic, you know, with who you are. And each one of us is so unique and special. And most often people are comparing themselves with others and then they are stuck. And they don't have the courage, maybe, or not brave enough yet to really open up their heart and mind to really become themselves. And if you practice Qigong, I didn't know all this. You know, when I started 2004, I thought I practice a movement, you know, a bit like yoga or that was really, everything was so new to me. And then year by year by year, I understood it more better. And I'm just now very grateful that I found a tool which helps me to, yeah, let's say, thrive in my life and, yeah, be more brave to be different or unique, let's say, unique. Yeah, really a unique expression of my own true self, which every human being has and can be.
What is it? I mean, what's going on there? What is it about practicing Qigong that you think would lead somebody to, let's say, shed the beliefs or whatever is keeping them from being more comfortable in their own body, or like I think you refer to as being more authentic or true to themselves? How are those related, you think?
Mm-hmm. That's also an excellent question. So when you start practicing Qigong, you are enhancing actually the energy, the qi in the center of your head, the center of your chest, the center of the abdominal area. I give now a very simple, you know, expression for that. Obviously, there are some Chinese terms to it. But these three energy centers actually represent your qi channel within your own body. And the center, the qi center in the center space of your head is related to your mental strength and abilities, clarity, you know, your ability to focus, concentrate. The center of your chest, obviously related to your heart, lungs, energy, and also to the energy of all organs. And, you know, if you have more qi here, you will find your emotions are balanced. You are more nourishing emotions of joy, happiness, and you just feel more relief and you stop worrying and having so much fear. And then the center, energy center in your abdominal area between your navel and a point which we call Ming Ming. That point I will now name because it's called Gate to Life. It's between the second and third lumbar vertebrae. And Gate to Life, like it says, you know, it's open. If that's open, then it's opening the qi flow, the energy flow from nature into your body. Gate of life open, then you're literally feeling more alive. And the energy center and the abdominal area is actually related to your physical strength. So what's happening? People start practicing. They feel stronger physically. They feel more balanced emotionally. So external events cannot impact them so strongly anymore. They notice that other people get worried or have fear. And you notice, yeah, you observe it and you understand something maybe very chaotic is happening, but it doesn't impact you so that you are more calm, more relaxed. you notice that you have more qi in your brain. Your brain cells literally are functioning then better. And then your mind is more stable, more clear. And then also what happens is what Dr. Pai Ming refers to, the center of our brain is a small space which is related to our mind oneness with everything. So it's literally called mind oneness entity, and it's really connected to everything. And what you then find is when you practice more, that this space is really opening up. And I like to create this metaphor that, you know, when you look into the blue sky, you know, you immediately feel like, oh, wow, open. You know, you're at the ocean, maybe look into the blue sky, no clouds, nothing. You suddenly feel the relation and you also feel more clarity. Now, if you look into the sky and there's all the clouds, you know, you might also feel like more dense. But the same is happening in this mind oneness entity when it's more clouded because of beliefs, limiting habits. You know, we have a habit which is so strong, but we somehow know it's limiting us. Still, we do it. Maybe look watching too much TV, or, you know, not getting up early to do our meditation routine, or, you know, maybe a habit to reacting to somebody always the same way, although we know it's not working and we would love to change that. So habits, beliefs, limiting thoughts, patterns, they are all related to the mind oneness entity, which is clouded. So the Qigong practice now helps you to send the clouds away, and your mind gets clearer, clearer, more blue sky inside, and blue sky outside, blue sky, more oneness. And then you suddenly find that things are lifting. And in this way, an authentic self, that's my experience looking back, and I've done also other leadership trainings. I've been the leadership trainer myself. I've done a lot of trainings, actually, and I was trained also by great trainers from the US, from Europe. And I found that Qigong has helped me to really put a practice behind that idea, let go of limiting beliefs, be yourself. Yeah, okay, be myself. Yeah, I would love to be myself. But, you know, then immediately comes the how, you know. If I have this pattern already, let's say for decades, then it's not easy to let go. And with your Qigong practice, you come to the awareness whether it's serving you or not, whether it's meaningful or not, whether it's helping you to have harmonious relationship with others or not, whether it's helping you to really, you know, come to terms with and accepting, you know, who you are, and then then reflecting on what would you like to bring into this life, you know, living a life more in purpose and with meaning. You start a really reflection process, and then a little bit like peeling the onion, you know, one, you come to the core. If you're really a Qigong practitioner, then you will find that, and I guess also yoga practitioners or any other practitioner who follows a deep meditation, I think you can distinguish these people are being more authentic. They are more true to themselves, and they are more free. They live a free life. They are not so much, yes, of course, we are part of society, so we need to, let's say, follow the country's rules or the culture in a way. But within the country, within the society, you are very free, and you don't allow yourself to be framed.
Yeah, that's well said. Before we run out of time, I mean, you've been practicing for a long time, as you say, but somewhere along the way, it shifted towards creating structures that help teach teachers. So what does that look like? What, you have a facility, or is this all done online?
Yeah, so before 2020, it was actually that we would meet in a 2 weeks environment, person to person. But since 2020, we have recreated our program, and it's now online and face-to-face. So it's guided and mentored by Master Yontong Liu, who is trained directly by Dr. Pang Ming. And it is a flexible program. So we have 3 online modules. We have 2 on-site modules at the moment in Europe, in Cyprus, which is a beautiful island in the Mediterranean Sea, and Austria. And Master Liu is traveling then there, and our team is traveling there. I'm also mentoring and coaching that program together with Master Liu. And we are attracting actually people from all over the world. So we already have 28 nationalities in our programs since we are running it. And we have trained around 250 people, from which one third, now around 70, 80, really work with this on a professional level. So they welcome clients or they have integrated it into their doctor's practice. And
so if somebody can't make it to Cyprus, or is there a network where people can find someone that teaches maybe closer to them that they could see and still get it in person?
Yes. So we have worldwide, we have teachers and therapists in the US, all over Europe, in Africa, in Asia. Yeah, literally on, I would probably say, yeah, there might be some countries where it doesn't exist, but most of the countries, there are Chinenjigo teachers or certified, what we call Hunanji therapists who could support. And any teacher can actually teach online or then also face-to-face if it's in that area where that person lives.
And what is the online program that you have? What does that look like? Is that like a live online thing, or is it all recorded? Can you
5 immune systems?
Okay.
So we say from the Qin and Qigong perspective, it's not only the physical immune system. We have 4 more. So we have the mental immune system, the consciousness immune system. We have the immune system for the membrane system, which is related to our health, the inner organs immune system, the energy field immune system, and the physical form. So we're teaching all 5.
And that's all over, you said, 3 weeks?
3 weeks. Friday, 2 hours. Saturday, 3 hours. And then optional practice sessions on Monday and Wednesdays, because we are teaching the theories behind these 5 immune systems and methods. So if somebody is in need to strengthen the mind, can practice certain methods. Somebody feels, oh, my emotions always in imbalance. I'm really sick and tired of always worrying and being angry or frustrated. Can focus on these methods. Others maybe have, you know, a physical issue. They want to focus then on the physical immune system method. So we set it up that it is, Master Liu is teaching it live. The practice sessions are led by certified Hunanji therapists who are well-trained. And then you have an e-learning platform where you find the training recording. So should you miss a session, you go to that e-learning platform, and the e-learning platform is also available after the 3 weeks so that you can continue to practice with the material. So it's quite powerful, actually.
And then you said later in the year or earlier the next year, it's what's the program there? It was another...
There, it's actually the Qin and Qigong Level 1 practices, which were also taught in the Medicine Nest Hospital. So a method which we call lift chi up or chi down method.
Sorry, can you say this lower?
Lift chi up, pour chi down.
Pour chi, okay. Mm-hmm. Word.
And it's a 20 minutes routine, 5 sequences. If you practice that by itself, no other method, Dr. Pang says you can heal from any kind of disease. And I've witnessed people in Germany only practicing this method and healing from MS or Parkinson.
Is there a way to access just that if somebody wanted to get started right away? Or
they can, for example, can, if they want to start right now, they can book our e-learning course, which is representing this 3 weeks online program, but they would do it self-paced. And they get access immediately and can get started. And then if they would like to be guided by Master Liu, they can then join the December live program. They also get a special prize, you know, if they want to deepen then and be mentored live in a live environment. But they are also like people, the Lift Chi Up, Pour Chi Down is one of the most read method in the West also. So there's a good place to look it up, which is called Qin and Qigong Students Hub. And on this Students Hub, teachers from around the world there's a directory of teachers from around the world. So people can look this up and find maybe a teacher in their area. And I think the contact details are on the website, so they can just send them a message and see.
And how do people, what website should they go to find more about all these offerings?
So a good website, there are 3 websites maybe I would like to mention. If you like to become a health and well-being coach to share, you know, the chi therapy medicine, then the hunyuanchitherapy.com website would be a great place to go.
For the listeners, we will link to all these so that you don't have to worry about trying to figure out the spelling from for, because it could just be a challenge.
Yes, that's true. Then we have a bit an easier website where we are sharing our online programs. It's the Life Changer Worldwide. So life-changer-worldwide.com. That's easier. And then we have the Qineng Qigong Students Hub, and that's Qineng-Qigong-Students-Hub.com. So, yeah, these three websites. But, yeah, I will send you the links and then exactly. Thank you.
Well, Britta, I appreciate you taking the time and going over all this stuff. I do think it's a fantastic topic, and I do feel like I personally have been inspired a little bit to get back into that practice. I kind of miss that those benefits that I was getting from it and the little extra time in nature by my favorite tree. So I am committing to get back in it, and I want to look
at see you deeper into these part of your tree. Hola.
I'm going to look deeper into these offerings that you guys have. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
First of all, I would like to thank you, Les, for the invitation and for our inspiring conversation. I can't believe it's an hour. You know, it feels like 5-10 minutes and very familiar, you know, very comfortable in talking to you and discussing this very important topics. And I just trust that our conversation is inspiring to listeners to open up their heart and mind to investigate maybe their next level of what is needed in their life to uplift themselves. And that can be, you know, that can be, like you just said, be more nature. You know, that can be deciding to be more kind to other people. It can be to fix a relationship, to really open up to what we call a heart stone and say, look, this relationship, I was avoiding that person maybe because I feel, you know, there's something happened, maybe a misunderstanding. And I hope that our conversation inspires people to uplift themselves a bit, to move towards the life they love. Because that is really what I find all the methodologies I've studied so far, the result to improve my own life quality has been amazing. And it's worth the effort. You know, obviously it is an effort. Yes.
And for the folks listening, yeah, you are worth it. Well, I agree 100%. Britta, thank you again for taking the time. For the listeners, of course, I'm always grateful for your listening, and I encourage you to check out more information on the topic, and I hope everybody has a great day.